Hello and welcome back to the Campbell Kennedy Wealth Management Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in and we really appreciate all of the feedback we got from our first episode. Again, if anyone has any questions, comments, or suggestions, please continue to contact us with those so that we can continue to provide the content that you're looking for.
That's right, Pete. It's safe to say our first episode went over pretty well based on that feedback. So today, what I'd like to do is really have a conversation with you and Dave about something specific that we deal with a lot in our practice, and that's the income model. I hear you and Dave talk about this all the time. Can you walk me through what an income model really is and where you came up with that term?
Jamie, that's an interesting question. When I first started working with the physician market, it was obvious that many, and in fact most, were incorporated. At the time, physicians in Ontario had been able to incorporate for about 8 years or so. So we hadn't really seen the full career cycle of retiring physicians with the corporate investment account playing a leading role.
Yeah, I remember that. There was a time that many physicians even wondered about incorporating being worthwhile if they were in the later stages of their careers.
And the question of corporations being worthwhile has actually come up once again with the tax changes that happened just a couple of years ago.
True, but in both instances, incorporations for professionals makes great sense in many cases. And really, it comes down to what we call the income model or income modeling. The idea behind income modeling for us was to apply some larger corporate planning techniques to the smaller version of an incorporated professional. Realizing that the corporate investment accounts would become the largest holdings in a professional's net worth, the question became, how do we integrate it into the overall wealth plan and ensure it's done in a tax-effective, or should I say tax-efficient, manner? Really, what we're doing is creating the most efficient income for the household, given the different buckets that we have to work with.
Whoa, okay. What do you mean by buckets?
What Pete's referring to there is the different structures that incorporation allows the physician or really any incorporated professional to have in their personal balance sheet. When we use the term bucket, what we're really referring to are just the different accounts that are available to be used, such as RSPs, TFSAs, non-registered and incorporated investment accounts.
That's right. And each one of these buckets has advantages and disadvantages that are inherent to them. And when we have that effective income model in place, they work really well together during practice and in retirement.
Okay, that makes sense. Can you give me an example of where an efficient income model was helpful during somebody's practice years?
An income model can be very effective in helping you determine the best place to get funds for those one-off expenses that tend to crop up from time to time. One of the things we try to stress with our clients is just to let us know when you have one of those expenses, so we can get the funds to them in the most tax-efficient manner possible. We recently had a client who was looking to purchase a cottage and needed some funds for the down payment. So we took a look at their income and determined the best place to access those funds was from their corporate investment account. So we triggered a gain in the corporate investment account and they had to pay a little bit of corporate tax, but this allowed us to take the funds out of the corporation through the capital dividend account and they actually paid no personal income tax on those funds.
No personal taxes. I can see how that could be really beneficial for those one-off large expenses that you encounter every few years. Okay, so that's great during the earning years, but how does the income model help someone as they transition into retirement?
Well, with the retired space, one could almost argue that retiring with a corporate investment account, there's even more need for an income model. One of the challenges that are faced with retiring professionals is, how do we now take all these different buckets of savings and turn it into a tax-effective income?
Now that seems like a pretty big process.
It's actually not as daunting as it seems. The biggest challenge is always the same challenge you face with any retired person, and that is, what is the monthly household cash flow need? Once we get a good idea of that, I'm able to go back and look at all the different revenue sources that we can expect in retirement. That may be pensions, passive income, or perhaps even active income from businesses that they're continuing to run. Once we have that number established, we have what I call the portfolio gap. That's the actual amount of money that needs to come out of the portfolio on a monthly or even an annual basis. We then look at the remaining buckets of assets and start to look at how drawing down from each will really affect the client's overall tax situation.
I've heard you say portfolio gap many times. That's the number you give to me when we're building an income-driving portfolio for a client that's at or close to retirement, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that walking through the portfolio gap and how it affects our investment portfolio positioning and investment philosophy is actually a whole other podcast.
I agree. That's going to open up a whole other series of questions. Pete, back to the structure of income. Is there an example of how an efficient retirement income can be generated through an income model?
Well, one quick example would be a married couple headed toward retirement. In many cases, what you have is a gradual slowdown of work where the physician is no longer working as long of hours as they once did. And in turn, we've slowed the savings rates to match that current income. In many cases, what we end up doing is dividending out or paying out the majority of the billings as salary to the physician. Once it's decided that they no longer want to continue to practice, then we start to pull out of our different buckets. If the physician is under 65 years old, we may start to draw heavily on the RRSPs and less on the corporate account, as that income being from the corporate account can't be split yet. Once the physician turns 65, we can then start to split the income again, and we can structure the income in a much more efficient manner.
But really, how much more does it add in terms of efficiency?
Actually, the benefits can be fairly substantial. We take a look at an example where a household needs about $120,000 a year after tax. For a single taxpayer to have $120,000 after tax, they would actually need to earn roughly $181,000. And that gives them an average tax rate of about 34%. For a two-person household or a two-taxpayer household, when we split the income thanks to a good income model, each of the members only needs to earn a little over $75,000 a year to generate the $60,000 each that they're going to need on an after-tax basis. That lowers their after-tax rate down to about 21%.
Oh, wow, that's pretty significant. So if I'm keeping up with those numbers, that's almost $30,000 a year savings in taxes paid and still keeping their same cash flow.
And really, Jamie, the great thing is that gets held in the portfolio, because in most cases, you're going to have government pensions totaling somewhere in the neighborhood of $31,000. Between OAS for both parties, a combination of CPP between the two. That means a difference of needing to pull out $120,000 out of the portfolio versus $150,000 out of the portfolio on that annual basis.
All right, that does add some substantial savings just for making sure that you and your advisor are taking the time and effort to create an efficient income model. Thanks so much for walking us through that today. Well, gents, I appreciate you guys taking the time today as well to go through this and put together our second episode. To all of those who tuned in, we appreciate it. We hope you found some useful information and insight. And as always, we'd like to encourage any one of you to reach out with any questions, comments, or ideas that you'd like us to cover off of future podcasts. One last note is that if you want to find us on the Twitterverse, you can find us now on Twitter at CK Wealth.
Hang on there, Jamie. Once again, I'm going to ask the last question here. We've been stuck inside for quite some time now, and the weather's getting much nicer, so I need to ask. What's your go-to patio drink for a hot day, and what's the best thing you've thrown on the barbecue lately? Dave, go.
Well, I usually like to start off the barbecue season with just the old standby of burgers and dogs, but just with it being so crazy this year, decided to go out and get some really nice steaks. Those on the barbecue and then a nice cold beer, you just can't beat it. My wife had a martini, so we had a good day.
That's fantastic. Jamie, how about yourself?
Last summer I picked up a smoker. So I actually got a Traeger last summer and jumped on the smoking bandwagon. So my favorite so far has been a smoked turkey breast. It's just amazing. And sitting back enjoying a gin and tonic with a lot of ice in it while the smoker does the work, it doesn't get a lot better than that.
Well, that sounds fantastic, and I'm really hoping that the Campbell Kennedy Wealth Management Twitter feed has at least one picture of a smoked turkey breast on it soon. Well, for me, I actually love a cold beer, and I've really been taking advantage of the home delivery and free home delivery of a lot of the craft breweries from around the province. Actually, just this morning, I got a delivery from Half Hours on Earth, which has done some great sours. So that's kind of my favorite thing for the patio. As for barbecue, we did Korean short ribs the other day and put them on the barbecue, and they smelled so good that I had neighbors from both sides peeking their head over asking what was on. Well, that wraps it up for us today, and thanks again for tuning in, and keep an eye on our website and our Twitter feed for more content coming out. Have a great day.